kick it off.
How many people here are not familiar with MP3? Never heard of it.
You would Good. Have to be living under a rock for the last 2 years to not know what MP3s are.
We actually had people last year that did not know what it was.
Yeah, we actually did a how-to of how to rip tracks and compress them. We're assuming everybody here knows how to do that, right?
Napster.
Pretty
good.
Napster. Napster.
Had to get the T-shirt.
What was I saying?
Have you seen that movie online?
That's cool.
You have to go to camchaos.com and download the Flash movie. It is hysterical. Actually, I'm speaking on an MP3 panel tomorrow morning as well, and we're planning to show them just before the panel, provided there are no minors under 18. There's a few objectionable words, but we have all three of them, and we'll probably show those tomorrow morning. So, campchaos.com. And no, I am not affiliated with them. It's just a funny, funny movie. You really have to see it. Owe it to yourself to download it. There's actually three of them, but
cool.
All right.
That panel will be at 11 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. tomorrow. I agree.
That's gonna be a how-to like last year, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not the one moderating it. I think Johnny X is. And so, actually, no. I think I am moderating that. I think I asked him to be on it. So, it's going to be probably pretty free form like this. We're just going to take questions and give comments on what we think about the technology. But without further ado,
first off, we handed out this little handout, and it's got some basics about how MP3 works, what it is. I have my last one. It's going to be...
That's okay.
I will be uploading it tonight to my website. I made the PDF out of it, but I have not uploaded it. Last year's guide is still on the website, though. If you want to see it, it's right there, just the bottom of the links, the main page. I left the link up from last year. Basically, MP3 is a compression algorithm that makes music files smaller by throwing out some information that is not considered audible. That's the whole deal. It's a lossy compression algorithm. If you're familiar with JPEGs, if you do a real crappy compression ratio, you get a real small file, but it looks real bad. Same deal with MP3. Generally, the most common format is the 128 kilobit stereo.
Right.
That's where you find most of them.
Right.
That is generally regarded as the best trade-off between quality and size. Quality, it's definitely not as good as the original WAV file. I've had a few files that come out kind of swirly.
Yeah. Well, you really have to be listening to the things on pretty expensive equipment to hear the artifacts. And if you flat out all of your equalizer levels, if you're not boosting your high end, you won't miss a lot of those artifacts that are put in with the compression algorithm. And I sat there because I had a bet with somebody. I said, I'll bet you I can rip an MP3 and you will not be able to distinguish it from the original CD. And I made the bet to myself, actually, and I was sitting there, and it was a classical piece with strings encoded at 128 kilobits per second, and I could not audibly detect any difference between the two, and I was listening for it.
Question.
Sure.
Sure. As we go.
Speak ahead.
My question was going to be about the various bit rates. And, I've heard people say that, there's a difference between 192 and 160. And I've seen all those. I've seen a lot of those on Napster, for example,
right.
Which is
bad.
I'm just kidding. And
bad. Evil.
Yeah. And also joint stereo. What is up with that? I'm not very clear on the bit joint stereo. I'm not very clear on the bit rates and how the various sound, psycho.
That's a good question. Okay, generally the higher the bit rate, the less information it's throwing away, okay? Now the deal with joint stereo is when you're encoding a stream, you're actually encoding two channels of audio, and get a left and a right. What joint stereo does, if there's an equal amount of the same signal on the left and the right, they will encode it as one bit stream. So it kind of joins them together, and that's, so it's like you've got three streams that is bands. Like,
Can I explain it?
Yeah, you probably got it better.
Yeah, okay. Wave joint stereo works. It's the same way FM radio works. There's a mono signal and a different signal. Yeah. The left channel is made by subtracting it. The right channel is made by adding it. The general principle is that if left and right channels are very, very similar, then you will get higher quality at a less bit rate using joint stereo, since the difference is small and the mono is larger. Hence, if left and right channels are more or less similar, then it gives you, then it'll give you better quality at the same encoding rate.
Good. When you get to the higher bit rates, they generally get rid of the joint stereo option, and you go to what's called simple stereo, where it actually separately encodes the left and right channel.
Is there any really noticeable difference between bit rates? So that's my question, because I haven't been able to notice that. I'm just wondering, on the high-end equipment, does 192 versus 128 mean really that there, much to audiophiles with trained ears?
That will spark a huge debate among some people. A lot of people claim that they can hear the difference. I have a very difficult time. Like I said, if the equalizer is flat, you know, if you're not boosting any of the high end, my ear, and I have pretty darn good ears, and you turn a TV set on in a room and I can hear it whining, okay? But my opinion personally is I don't believe there is that much, for popular music, there is not that much of a difference between the two, at least that I can hear.
Well,
my ears are the judge.
Same with me. I've talked with a couple of...
Sorry, can you speak up a little?
I've talked with a couple of audiophiles, and they can, but their equipment is really... I mean, for the average user, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's just it.
Exactly.
Yeah. My speakers in my studio are $1,000 a piece.
Right.
Calibrated amplifiers, and I can hear the difference. And anybody else coming in can hear it, too, especially on certain songs. Right. You play it on a regular stereo, you're never going to hear it.
Right. Which is what 99% of the people are going to be listening to it on.
I've over the last year since the last panel, I've done a few collaborations with other artists over the internet, and where 320 really comes into play for me is when we want to do, like, say I want to do a guitar track for his song, I'll go ahead and encode it at 320, so that when he re-encodes it, the difference is not so bad. Use the higher bit rates, mainly for the independent tracks that you know they're going to be recompressed later. When I usually put out the final product, it's going to be 128.
The reduced degradation whenever you recompress it multiple times is what you're trying to avoid with the encoding.
Oh, sir. Yeah, then to encode it in a higher bit rate like that is to avoid the degradation you get from re-encoding it in a compression and then decompressing it and essentially recompressing it again, you get repeated degradation and it gets worse and worse and worse.
Exactly. Yeah. If you want to really hear what it's doing to the sound, if you just take any MP3, extract it out to a WAV file and then re-encode it, you'll hear what it's actually done to it on a much larger scale. But the first time you can't tell. It's pretty hard. Any other questions?
When you're encoding MP3s for your website, what format do you come from? From a WAV file? Do you record to the CD and then from the CD go to the MP3? Or
I actually record 24-bit onto the hard drive WAV files.
Okay, so when you record your actual album, it's always in WAV files?
It's always in WAV files. Mm. Extra high bits. An average song takes about 3 CDs to back up for me, just one song. And then I dither down to 16-bit, and then I go ahead and encode it. So, generally.
This is sort of off topic, but what software do you generally use?
I use Cubase for my main sequencing and recording. I use WaveLab and CoolEdit for editing. WaveLab for mastering, it's killer. The MP3 part, lately I've started using WaveLab to encode.
I use, I use the Fraunhofer codec, and I use... Audio Grabber, really,
anything
uses really
the
good.
The Fraunhofer one is going to give you a better sound.
Yeah.
The Zing one is pretty decent, but and very fast. But if you really want the best
higher
quality,
go with
Fraunhofer.
Fraunhofer is they're the ones that invented the algorithm. So,
it's also
also bears mentioning Lane, the open source's attempt
to... Hold on. Time out.
It also bears mentioning there's an open source MP3 encoder by the name of Lame that me and my friends have had really good experiences with. Basically, they have a open source psychoacoustic model for music, for sound, and they're very nearly matching the Fraunhofer model, which is really cool, and it's free.
You can't beat that.
Can't beat that at all.
Most of what I'm getting from a lot of people is like there's like a big fight on like what you use to play it with. Like some people say Winamp sounds better, then you hear Sonique sounds better, then you hear so and so sounds better. Which is it just more like a preference or?
I think so.
I can kind of tell the difference on some of them. Like yeah, some of them just sucks.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing that we touched on last year on this panel was a lot of people really don't. Grasp the concept of ripping a track from a CD. Okay, a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll hit play on the Windows CD player and they'll start recording with their sound card. Okay, what you're doing, you're going from digital to analog, then back to digital, and you're incorporating all the noise that sound card has on it, you know, and all the noise that your PC is generating. You know, you're supposed to use a shielded cable when you're running from your CD-ROM drive into the audio input on your sound card, but you're still going to pick up some noise. And, I mean, there's an awful lot of MP3s out there that are in...
pretty bad shape.
They're not ripped. They're basically a recorded WAV file of the CD playing. And, you know, that's one of my big pet peeves when I go and download a song and I find that the quality really isn't there and I can tell that it's, if it had been ripped correctly from the raw data on the CD, the quality is infinitesimally better in the end.
Yes, so. I agree.
Chuck is, by the way, my name is Laughing Boy, also known as Patrick Burns. I'm a DJ and occasional amateur musician. Chuck here is in a band called Voodoo Sex Stuff, and why don't you go into a little bit about how you distribute your music on the web.
Okay. As you can see here, we have our own website, for starters. Got about 20 MP3s of our own stuff, programmed a little JavaScript jukebox and a few other little neat goodies, and that's the main place where people get our music from. I have songs posted at mp3.com, iuma.com, riffage.com, Audio Galaxy, freemusic.com. Those are the five tops I do. Those are the five that I check. Occasionally I do a search engine check, and I found them posted on sites in Germany and South America and all kinds of places, linked all over the place. Some with some good pretty comments cool. about them, other ones with, say, this song really sucks, that kind of thing. But for the most part, response has been good. I use MP3 as a way to promote ourselves. We really don't play places very often, and really the only place that people can hear us is online, although we're planning on changing that very shortly based on some things coming in from other people. One other site, impulse.com, they just chose us to be on their best or their greatest hit CD, which they're going to be sending around to a ton of radio stations and stuff. So
very cool.
Hopefully something happens with that. I don't know. But basically, this is just something we love to do, and we decided to start making it available to people. At first, it was just for friends. We just say, hey, this is cool. You download the song, see what you think. Then it's kind of evolved.
One question is one of your goals to have your entire source of income being from the music you write? In other words, do you want to not have a job and just write music? And if so, how do you plan on accomplishing that when you're giving out the music?
Well, if you really want to go and make it a full-time thing, it has to be, in other words, get your majority of your income. These days, you still can't do it just online. You have to go out and play places, and you have to go through the same deal you used to before. It's just now it's a lot easier to get more people to hear you that are not in your immediate vicinity. We didn't start this out with a goal in mind. We've been doing this as Voodoo Sex Stuff for about 8 years. Our first couple tapes we made were just handed out. 1998 was when we first put our MP3s on the web. And right about then was when MP3 was just starting to come out. MP3.com had two bands on it. And the majority of audio files you found on the internet were actually in MP2. If anybody remembers those.
Oh, really lousy.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, if you ever do run across an old MP2, your MP3 players will play that. That's part of the specification for MP3, is that it will play the older MP2s. Backwards compatible, yes.
Right. The question I had was, like, if on the web, when you put MP3s out, that you've a lot of people who do hear, like you said, it's not in your immediate area. And so my question is just, do you think it's worth it? Because if you're just playing in clubs and that's where you're generating your income from your band, having MP3s distributed worldwide and not necessarily as much people in the area be able to hear it, and so they don't get excited about the music and want to go and listen
to the show. There's always the possibility that a big record label might actually hear that file and say, wow, these guys are great. Sign them right now. I understand your point. You know, if you're only playing locally, but I think, you know, when I was in a band, the ultimate goal was to quit our day job and start touring and, you know, making buco bucks and having a limousine and, you know, a mansion and all that.
Yeah, that's always the dream.
Right. But
then the reality sits
in. It's always good to get your music out there because you never know when you might strike a chord with someone, pun intended.
Yes, and you never know who's going to stop by. That's for sure. I've gotten some emails from some notable people in the last couple months that are asked me to send them press kits and such, and which has really made us rethink our not playing live situation. Don't want to say because I don't want to jinx them. But pretty big name type people.
Okay, so you're talking about the record labels. Do you foresee it ever happening where the record labels have no influence on your success as an artist? In other words, you do your MP3s, you're releasing your own music, and you somehow are supporting yourself.
We can hope.
You can always hope. Our goal is not we really don't have a goal to make it. Our main drive is the music. And if...
Good for you.
If it makes us rich and famous, that's cool. If it doesn't, that's cool too. It's just something we love to do.
Which is the way to get into music. If you were like me as a naive teenager thinking, you know, it's so easy to make it and you have stars in your eyes and dollar signs and, you know, thinking that, you know. Exactly. Chuck's passion for the music, that should ultimately be the driving force behind getting into music, and I applaud you for that.
Would you limit your catalog available?
Until now, we've not limited our catalog. It's available online. However, now my website has grown to over 200 megabytes. So I'm going to be taking about 8 or 9 songs off of it, but still making them available for minimum cost off of MP3.com.
If it came to an issue of making money or not, would you start limiting your catalog?
No. The deal is, I don't think that, like, for instance, the Grateful Dead, all those years, they allowed people, they encouraged it to bootleg. That just increased fans. I don't think they lost a single record sale because of bootlegs.
Absolutely not. That would do nothing but increase, you know, record sales. It's stuff you can't get anywhere else.
Oh,
It really is true. I'll admit, I'm one of the enemy. I'm a music retailer. But I have noticed that the more accessible band's music is to the fans, the more they are actually interested in coming in, buying the actual CD, mm-hmm. and making sure that the band gets the money.
You work in music retail.
Yes.
And you have seen music sales increase in the wake of the MP3 controversy?
I actually have, yes.
Thank you.
I mean, even singles, too.
Will you show up tomorrow morning at 11:30... That is really, really comforting to hear, because I'm hearing, you know, some people are saying it's driving the sales, and then, of course, you've got these reports that are sponsored by the record labels saying, no, it's hurting sales. Nobody's buying CDs anymore. To hear somebody actually working in music retail saying that is very good to hear. That's very encouraging.
Yes.
Yes, really. Show some cash register receipts, sales figures from, you know, 3 years ago versus this year.
I just want to follow that up. And in my personal music buying, that has been the case. I mean, the stuff that's been accessible to me over the net that I've downloaded MP3s, I've gone out and buy the CDs right away if I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Right away.
Well, for me, Napster as a DJ is incredible because, you know, I spent a lot of time before the web and before Napster was really mainstream, I spent a lot of time trying to track down a lot of music. You know, a lot of the stuff you can't just walk into a mall record shop and buy.
Chance.
You have to plump down $20-$30 for an import. That is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, you know, it is such a convenient format, and you know, I'm looking to the future. You know, in a couple of years when wireless modems for laptops are fast enough. You know, I'm doing a remote gig. Somebody asks me, "Hey, do you have such and such?" Hold on a second here. Come back in about 5 minutes. You know? So it is. You know, the interesting thing is, the record labels are fighting this thing tooth and nail, and the floodgate has already been opened. The cat is out of the bag. The horse is out of the barn. However you want to put it, it is not going away. They need to learn to live with this. I mean, I like to equate it, their fight against MP3 and the new technology, it's like trying to hold back the tide with a broom, okay? You know, it's not going away. Every time they shut down one website, another one springs up. You've got Napster in court right now, and unfortunately, I don't think another year from now, I don't think Napster will be around. I just don't see how they can continue to do this. But there are other technologies, other file sharing technologies like Nutella, which is decentralized. There is no one central server that you can shut down, because when you are running the client, you are both a server and a client. So it's distributed out amongst the entire world, everybody that's connected to the Nutella network. But we'll touch more on that tomorrow morning.
My question was going to be, would you care to comment on the whole Courtney Love manifesto?
Oh,
and
that was beautiful.
What was brought up in that? Because I read the whole damn thing, and I enjoyed it immensely. And also the strange way that some artists have come out on one side, some on the other side, some are not exactly sure, some don't understand technology, what we need to do.
Metallica.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be James Hetfield, by
Metallica
the way.
Metallica is just trying to sell more records.
Yeah. If this will change anything, and if we, you know, if more artists will stand up and start screaming, because she brought up the points about this sharecropping of artists and the works for hire issue, and would you care to comment on that?
I find it really interesting that more artists haven't stepped forward and said, this is wrong, you know, I am being ripped off here. Everybody, it seems like the lion's share of the artists are sort of standing in the sidelines right now, just watching this thing play it out. And I think in the back of their head they're saying, wait a second, you know, I'm only getting a 5% royalty on every CD that's sold. You know, I go to a restaurant, if the service is crappy, I leave a 10% tip, okay? So these guys are getting shafted big time by the record labels. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand that there are costs involved. You know, there's promotion. Manufacturing costs of a CD is a joke, okay? A CD costs less than $1 to produce. That includes the jewel case and the silk screening on the disc and the booklet. In the quantities that the major labels are purchasing these things, it's like it's peanuts. And they're turning around and selling these things for $15, $20. You know, there is a huge, huge profit margin there. I mean, vinyl LPs have always been much more, well, I shouldn't say always, but are historically more expensive to produce than a CD because of the process that is involved in actually pressing them, injecting the vinyl into the mold and whatnot. And I remember, oh, about 10 years ago, the cost of an LP was $8-$10, okay, and it was costing them more to make it. CD prices, I remember the things when they first came out, they were like $40 a piece because it was a brand new technology and, you know, they didn't know how it was going to go, and your collection was very limited, or your selection was very limited of what you could purchase. The price to produce the product went down, and it seems like the price of a CD bottomed out at about $12 a piece, and then it started creeping its way back up. It's like, you have to wonder what's going on there. And I love MP3s. I love downloading MP3s. I believe 110% that the artist should be compensated for their work, but the lion's share of the profit should be going to the artist and not to the record label. That's my opinion.
What do you think about the whole thing about the five big major labels who all got together to artificially inflate the price of CDs when they first came out?
I'm sorry, could you say again?
I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah, it's like it's documented, and like they had a lot of attacks from them from the government and stuff, and it's not totally gone through court or anything. So like, it's not. I think I read about it a little bit about it in the New York Times once, but like that's all I've heard about it in the mainstream press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember reading that went through, and that the labels that were in question in court are now required to stop, implementing those practices. That's what my understanding was. When it's going to into effect is the question. I don't know if it's happening right now. Well, I haven't seen a drop.
Leave it to the lawyers, okay? These things can be dragged out for years, so. And it can keep going for years more. I mean, that's what they do best.
Yeah, the longer they drag it out, the more money they get out.
Exactly.
It might even be different companies.
The longer
they
drag it out, the more money they can get out of it
that's
in the
right.
process. So.
That's right.
What are your thoughts on some of the newer, quote-unquote, secure formats, WMA and that little
MP4?
That really just don't do anything other than clog up the MP3 channels.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically trying, the record industry is going about this in the completely wrong way. They want to be compensated for each and every copy of that song that's out there. It doesn't work that way. Okay, the software industry got wise about 10 years ago. They stopped trying to copy protect software to thwart pirates, because they would come up with this wonderful new copy protection scheme for this piece of software, and 24 hours later, after it hit the street, it's showing up on bulletin boards and FTP servers. So it really boggles my mind that the record labels have been so slow to embrace this thing. Napster, the technology, the infrastructure already exists. Not only does it already exist, it's already in operation, hence Napster. Okay, I would gladly pay $5, $10 a month to subscribe to Napster to download all of this stuff. And you think if you've got 30 million users paying, $10 a month, there's $300 million a month that is being generated in revenue that they could distribute back out to these artists. They can even make log files of how many times each song has been downloaded and distribute the royalties accordingly for each song. So flabbergasts me that they haven't caught on to this.
This is very similar to a scheme that MP3.com is doing right now.
Yeah.
You get so many downloads, you get paid a little bit. We've made about $53 right now just with people downloading stuff. I mean, it's not
that's
a great
good.
Amount. There's a lot of people who have made several thousand dollars, but
that's
something. It's pretty cool. It's nice to get a little check that says, hey, people do listen to you.
To actually be getting paid.
You can't spend it on anything.
But at least it's going to you. At least it's going to you and not into, the record labels, they sign an artist to a record deal, and they give them an advance. An advance, that's a loan. That is not your money. That money, if your CD bombs out and it doesn't, they advance you $100,000 and they don't make $100,000, guess what? You owe them for that advance, for that $100,000 advance. So you got so many of these struggling artists that, you know, they get their break, so to speak, being signed to a major label. The CD bombs out, and they wind up, you know, filing for bankruptcy because they can't ever repay that loan in the time frame that they are in, being required to. So it's really kind of a scam. And the Courtney Love manifesto touches on that quite a bit. I do not have a URL to that, but I would. Johnny X has it on some of our propaganda over there. I definitely recommend reading it. It is a beautiful rant that she does. Any questions?
Well, actually, I had a comment. I do agree about artists should have more percentage of their royalties, obviously. But perhaps guys like you who can actually break down CD costs to them to produce and everything else should maybe educate and put it out there for more in a wider scale that, hey, you are getting ripped off of hits. So when young guys like this guy over here who plays in a band ever gets a chance to cut a CD, they're not fooled into signing these stupid contracts because once it's signed, it's legal.
Yep. It is binding.
This is true.
Is binding. Yeah. It's the reason I think the record industry is fighting this tooth and nail is because they are scared. They have this nice little scam going on that has been in place for decades that worked really well for them. And what's happening right now, the times are changing, and they're slowly seeing their control of the entire recording industry. I truly believe that they are afraid of facing being obsolete. In some ways, I don't think that that will happen. I think there's always going to be people that want to have the tangible product, the CD, you know, with the liner notes and whatnot. You're absolutely right. I think afraid of, you know, these not being able to sucker these guys into signing these ludicrous recording contracts when they can distribute the thing for free themselves. So,
I was just going to say it's all supply and demand. When they were controlling the production of CDs, they could limit the supply, therefore the demand would
absolutely
be high, and they could get money.
Oh, yes.
And now that there's CD burners out there and anybody can burn whatever songs they want,
right.
There's no limit. The supply is just...
Yeah, which is a good thing in a way too. It's there was a panel before this on e-books. People are basically pirating books now. They're taking these. It started out with science fiction novels. They were taking pages out of these books, putting them on a flatbed scanner, scanning them in, and then running OCR software, optical character recognition, which looks over the text and it converts these scanned images into actual. Into an actual text document, and they were uploading them onto the internet. The same thing, that is not a bad thing altogether because it means that that book will never go out of print. It will always be accessible. The same thing with MP3s. You know, a CD can go out of print, and like you, I see what you're saying. The record labels can create a false demand for the CD and jack the prices up, so it's not an entirely bad thing.
That's my entire thing with all copyrighted material. If the material is out of print or out of circulation and you cannot find it anywhere,
absolutely,
it is okay if you can find it. Someone who has a copy is
yes.
willing to give it to you.
Yes.
I listen to music that no one has in this country.
Right.
I try to find recordings of, like, you know, Cold War... Russian, you know, recordings of operas, and it's
right.
just like you can't find them.
No, they do not exist. Yeah,
and it's just like someone out there, some person sitting on a computer in Russia has it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, in a record store, in a conventional record store, you know, they have a finite amount of real estate, of space that they can use for displaying the product, and obviously for business reasons, they have to keep the hot sellers in there. And the more obscure stuff, it really doesn't pay for them to stock, because there might be one you might be the only person in 10 or 20 years that comes along looking for this stuff, and then there might be a whole slew of stuff there that never actually sells. So, you know, it's...
You go with the brand name, not the classic artist.
I mean, you know, record stores are in business. They're in business to make money. And they can only stock, like I said, they only have a finite amount of storage space to hold this stuff. And they do have a layout of, you know, costs to, you know, ship the stuff and stock it and tag it and put it on the rack. So, I mean, it's great to think that, you know, this music is never going to go away. It's always going to be, somebody is going to have it someplace.
Yeah, it's so. Especially true with, like, 1920s recordings of things.
Yeah.
And
yep.
you can't find.
No.
They don't exist. Nope. They've never been put onto CD, and
right.
The vinyls are disappearing.
Well, what's interesting with that is these people are, because they can't, the master recordings are long gone.
Yeah.
What they're doing, they're taking these old 78s, sampling them in, cleaning up the clicks and pops using like Cool Edit Pro or Dart Pro to restore it. And then, what's that, SoundForge? SoundForge does that well, too.
There's a lot of nice plugins.
Yeah. That's a really amazing technology. I've heard some really incredible strokes of a miracle happen to a recording by doing that. And, yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, because that may be, you know, you may hold a 78 in your hand. That may be the last existing copy of that recording in the world. Okay? So these are things that need to be archived and that's a good place to start. Yes, the net is a good place to start.
Well, I've read like Senate hearings that people were basically fighting for the rights to the internet and to keep the government out, and how it was supposed to be proponents of the internet were out there saying they wanted free flow of information.
Right,
and that becomes it's not that big of a deal with music. But when you get into like the medical industry, where there are actually companies trying to buy up the publications and resources that doctors use for your health, and actually control that and limit the supply and demand of that, whereby yeah. you may not even be able to get good medical care because some company
yeah.
owns the document that tells a doctor what to do to save your life.
That's scary.
Yeah,
that
and
is
so,
scary.
So the whole world's going to have to rethink copyrights.
It's like these biotechnology firms copywriting gene sequences in the human body. That I found very frightening, and I was relieved when the United States government and British government said, guess what, here's our, it's open source now, here's what we've been doing for the last 20 years, and I'm, it was great to watch the biotech stocks just go, that was, yeah.
What you were just saying about the medical industry, my father's a dentist, and he lectures a lot on like technology and how it affects the medical field, and what you said is very, very true. It's a becoming a much more popular trend for companies to copyright certain techniques or certain instruments for dentistry in particular, or you know, and dentists have to pay a certain amount of money for this to work, or to be able to use it, or to be able to get the instrument, and or get the information of how to do certain things.
Information wants to be free. Let it be free.
And, of course, where does all that cost go to? Straight to the person who's got to go to the doctor.
Right.
And, of course, the insurance company probably doesn't cover half of it. And, therefore, anyone who has a halfway decent job probably doesn't have as good of benefits as he needs to. And, therefore, he's broke, can't go to the doctor, he dies.
Yeah.
And that's the copyright.
It's the copyright.
So we've got one downloaded.
We've got one downloaded. We've got an MP3
anybody
queued up and ready
one?
To go.
And you said I can do this as a real player here?
You should be able to, yeah. Real player, gosh darn. I don't know what Progressive Networks has been doing recently. But there, it's really, it pisses me off when they put their... Start Center icon into my tray, and I go into the registry and delete it, and the next time I run RealPlayer, it puts it back in there. You have to actually manually go in and, yeah, into the options, and it's kind of a hidden option to remove that. And I'm sorry. I'm of the school that Windows is better off with as little running as possible. It's one more thing to, one more executable to bring the system down. Ladies and gentlemen, Voodoo Sex Stuff. It's got a good beat. You can dance to it. I give it a 10. So this is encoded at 128. If I might, one more. Okay, I've just launched the graphical equalizer for this. Hold on a second.
It's not his computer.
There we go. You can already hear some artifacts if you listen closely. See how tinny it's getting? The
rock and roll, man!
Turn the EQ off. Wait a second for the buffer to catch up. You see what I mean? When the EQ levels are flat out, your ear doesn't really catch the artifacts that are put in there by the compression algorithm. Original WAV file of this song. You didn't bring any CDs?
What's that?
Not really. 40 megs, come back next week. That is if we don't drop the connection.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
That's if Windows doesn't crash by then.
What do you mean, if?
Yeah. Like I said, when I'm running Windows, I get rid of all this stuff down here in the tray. Yeah. I Control-Alt-Delete. I don't even... I am insane. I don't even run a virus scanner. I just make regular backups on my machine.
No screensavers.
No screensavers, nothing. No active desktop.
It will kill your computer.
Active desktop is evil. Any other questions or comments that we have out here? Kind of like the music is kind of a... Pardon me? I'm good with it.
Y'all were talking about the...
Actually, maybe we should. I'm having a tough time hearing him.
Y'all were talking about the copywriting?
Yeah, talk louder into the mic.
You were talking about the copywriting of medical stuff? instruments and such. If you make it where they can't copyright their research, then you're going to kill the research. They can't make a profit off of it. They won't do it. Which means someone may die now because no one did the research to learn the new techniques to cure disease.
Yeah.
It's two-way street.
It is.
It is a double-edged sword. You've got things like going back, kind of get more general.
To answer that, though, in the field of dentistry, my grandfather, 50 years ago, began studying a technique that he was not getting any copyright for. He did it in India. And he didn't quite finish it. My father finished it, and he received not a cent for it. But it's a very, very popular technique now, and they did it because they care about what their field is, not because they're trying to make money. And I'm talking about companies. In the medical field, it doesn't have to be companies. It can be individual doctors, individual people who care, and there is enough support. There is enough research for that. I really believe there is.
If you don't have the backing with some of the advanced techniques they're working with computer technology, engineering techniques to use the finest metals for surgery and such, and it's furthermore, pharmaceuticals. Do you realize how much it costs to get FDA approval for a medication? It costs something like $120 million through the research, get it developed, tested, and then approved. Now then, they do $120 million, get it approved. Now everyone can suddenly sell this medicine. I understand medication prices are exorbitant, but it's government regulations that are kind of doing it to us. But that's to protect the public.
Not to kill your debate there. I'm sorry. I agree with you both. We're getting a little bit off topic here, though. Just a little bit. But I understand both of your points. I have a panel to be at 8:30, and I have to set up for that. Consulted
well
with.
Up,
yeah, we're pretty much wrapped up. If anybody else has any comments or anything,
I'd just like to say that I was going to say like that what they're talking about is totally irrelevant to the like internet technologies because so many people out there are producing so much stuff for free because they want to see the information released worldwide for free, like Freenet, Nutella. Well, maybe Nutella is not the best example because it's made by the people who made Winamp.
So it should be.
Yeah,
I believe. I mean, businesses do have a right to make money, but there are more than one way to make money. You know, you can give information away for free, and you can make money. Like I said, I would gladly pay $10 a month to download to my heart's content every MP3 that I want. I believe the artists should be compensated for this. It's just, you know, it's waiting for the powers that be to wake up and get it. That's right. That's what advertising is for.
I was going to say, too, that, like...
You know, that's another interesting distribution model for MP3s and a way to make money is, you know, put the MP3s on a website and put advertising banners on there, you know. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you only get about 5%. Getting 5% click-through on a banner is considered to be a good percentage, but, you know... If you're talking about, you know, if you're getting 1,000 hits a day, you know, that can add up pretty quickly. You know?
So. I've got one more of these left over. Anybody wants it?
All right. Well,
There's a list of a bunch of MP3 sites. Not a bunch, about 10 or so. And it kind of goes into a little bit more detail about how the compression algorithm works.
Right. Yeah.
If you did not get one and would like one, write down my website. I will have a link on it by morning to download it in PDF format so you can print it out and look exactly the same.
Could you tell us the URL for our recording?
That's a wrap.
Can you give us the URL real quick for our recording here?
Pardon me?
Can you repeat the URL for our internet audience who will be listening to this later on?
VoodooSexStuff.com, right?
Yes. Written down here on this card?
VoodooSexStuff.com.
With any luck, this panel should be available in MP3 format eventually.
How appropriate.
MP3 panel.
Don't download it from there.
That's right. It's copyright.
Yeah,
Hey, I didn't sign a waiver. I didn't give anybody permission to download this. Who do I sue? Next panel is Hacking 201 at 8:30.